This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. There are thousands of undocumented workers in Canada. Their stories, like the workers themselves, are mostly hidden from view. But a recent raid on a construction site in Vancouver put migrant workers in the spotlight. The raid has sparked outrage after it was revealed that it was filmed for a U.S. reality TV show about the work of the Canada Border Services Agency. It's since been learned that a demo reel for the show was approved by the Minister for Public Safety, Vic Toews. Byron Cruz is with Sanctuary Health, an organization that was created after Canada's new immigration laws came into effect last year. Byron Cruz works with migrant workers on an ongoing basis, and he's joined me in the studio this morning to talk about their experiences living and working in Canada. Hello, Byron.
Good morning.
First of all, what's happened to the men who were arrested in the raid on March 13th?
Well, there are so many of them that were arrested that day. We have information about some of them, and we don't have information about all of, like another half of them. And in this situation of Oscar, who was one of them, he left the country a couple days ago. And in the case of another two of them, we know that they are kept at Fraser Correction, and but the situation is hard for others because immigration is not providing any information about them. Then we don't know. We would like to see if they need any legal advice, and we don't have any access to them.
Do we know how many undocumented migrant workers there are in the Vancouver area?
Couple years ago, we have an estimate that there were between 3,000 and 5,000, and that could change because there have been lots of deportations, and the officers from immigration from BC,
Canada Border Services Agent.
Yeah, they have been conducted lots of raids, and this is one of the public ones, but they have been doing that from long time ago, right? Then we don't know exactly how many. Maybe we should count Whistler. How is Whistler as well? We have Europeans working in Whistler. Are the raids conducted in Whistler? No, right? Because obviously here we are more apt to be arrested by immigration. We are dark. We work in the constructions, right?
So you say that there's racism in happening according who is investigated, who is arrested.
Oh, definitely, definitely. All the raids are conducted to people of color, and
How do people find themselves in a situation where they're in Canada without papers? What are the routes?
I think we have to go through different situations, right? We have undocumented workers who come from a very poor places in Latin America, that they places where they have been displaced due to the activity of the Canadian mining companies, that have been creating a situation of misery in those places. We have migrant workers that come to Canada from Central America, and we know that Central America is going through a very tough economical situation after many years of civil war. Then most people say, oh no, these are just economical workers. Of course are economical workers. The poor economy due to all these years of civil war, all of these years of domination and the transnationals taking advantage and industrialization and bringing machines instead of humans having work.
So I guess, and then some will also be people who have made refugee claims, and
the claims have not succeeded, I guess. That would be another route by which people would be here undocumented.
Exactly. That's another way, because we know with all these changes in the immigration system, is very discriminatory system. That's not new. It's like has been like that for many years, but last year it got worse. Like someone who is claiming refugee, most likely that will be out of the country in 45 days because the new immigration system set up a way that they cannot really defend their cases.
This would be the people who are identified as coming from safe third countries. It's 45 days, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. That's the 45 days. And we don't hear from other cases. We know that there have been people coming through the airport trying to claim refugee status, and they are returned right away. Then, and who made those decisions? Officers at the airport? Officers at the border? Do they have the qualifications to do those decisions? I doubt it. Yeah.
Vic Toews says that illegal immigrants cost law-abiding Canadian taxpayers tens of million dollars each year. What's your response to that?
Definitely, undocumented workers are an important source of a good economy. And they are like any of us. It's your neighbor, my neighbor, they work very hard. And there is a huge need for a workforce, and they are supplying that workforce that is not available. They are also supplying that workforce that is hard work. Many times they do jobs that are very toxic, and you know, pregnant women doing construction work, that sometimes they had to use very toxic materials. And but they also pay taxes when they do their shopping, right? They will like to be part of the system where they can have a legal permit, where they can pay their normal taxes as anyone. But they are also paying taxes wherever they go, right? They are Canuck fans. They are Whitecaps fans. And they pay taxes when they go to these events. But they don't enjoy any benefits. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know many people were shocked that a raid like this was intended to go on TV as entertainment. What kind of reaction have you heard to the raid from other non-status migrant workers that you've talked to?
There is a lot of anger, but the fear has increased. Like, people were living in fear, in constant fear. They had to take extra precautions to where they go to eat, where they go to have fun, how do they meet with their friends, and now it's worse. They are not going out. They are living in groups now sometimes because CBSA has been searching their apartments, and that's very hard because now it's a time that we would like to offer more help, more legal advice, and it's hard because it's like a hidden situation right now because they had to protect themselves, but it's a time also to I understand that situation. I understand that fear. It's understandable. I will be probably doing the same thing. And probably many of them did the same thing in their country of origins when the repression got worse in Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico. Probably they did the same thing. They just disappeared for some time. It causes displacement, right? I think it's part of the internal displacement. And people probably go to other places. They abandon Vancouver. They go to other places and Calgary, I don't know.
Now, in February, Toronto became the first Canadian city to adopt a formal policy allowing undocumented migrants access to services regardless of immigration status. How far are we away from that here in Vancouver?
Oh, thanks for that question. I really enjoy those news from Toronto. and it's amazing. It just came for the first time to our conversations in Vancouver about Sanctuary City last year. I mean, at least in the network of people that I work with, about the possibility of having a Sanctuary City. And I was so happy to hear that Toronto did that. But Toronto had a process of 10 years of hard work of the grassroots organizations. No One Is Illegal was working so hard on that, and many other organizations. Then after 10 years, they were able to do it so successful. And I think we can do it in Vancouver.
I guess we should maybe explain a little bit what a sanctuary city is, because there's quite a number of cities in the United States, but because this is the first Canadian one, I guess people listening might not be sure about what that is. Can you explain what that would mean?
Sure, sure. And at least in our situation in Canada, Toronto has this new policy, because most of the council members vote in favor for it. I think only one of them didn't vote for, actually vote against it. And Sanctuary City means that all those programs that are funded by the City of Toronto, they had to follow this specific procedure, this specific policy of providing access to services without fear. And that's such an important policy, because in Vancouver we don't have that. Then a migrant worker with who never had access to HIV testing, for example, never go because they are afraid of going to test, because they think that someone will call immigration, and that's a fear that is very well funded. I know situations where they have been called from CBSA show at the hospital where someone had an injury because they were working at the construction site. Then they went to the hospital and CBSA show up right at the hospital. Who called CBSA?
So the border services agents come to the hospital after somebody's injured on the work site?
That's right. Then that's the worst situation. I know situations where someone was paralytic after being injured at the construction site. Immigration show up, the CBSA officers show up at the hospital. He went back, he was deported with no possibilities of working in the country of origin, right? And no compensation at all, right? Then we had to fight strong for this policy of access without fear. Hospitals, clinics.
Schools too, I guess, for the children, yeah?
Definitely schools, and Toronto has that new, the new policy also involves schools. But it's amazing that Toronto has developed more, because some of the migrant workers have access to school. In Vancouver, kids of migrant workers or migrant workers themselves don't have access to a school system. They don't have access to a school system. I was working with I have been working with people who have kids. They had never been vaccinated. They had no access to healthcare for their kids, right? No access to the school system for their kids. Then there is no justice in the way that we are right now.
So, what can people who are listening to us now do to start moving this agenda forward so that we get to that kind of situation like Toronto here in Vancouver?
Yes, and Sanctuary Health has right now two main demands. One of the demands is towards the refugee claimants, because refugee claimants are almost at the same situation of an undocumented worker. Hard to get a working permit for a refugee claimant. No access to healthcare. They can access for emergency purposes, but not for procedures with specialists and things like that. Then we are demanding the province to be in charge of providing this medical coverage for refugee claimants. That's our main demand right now. But our demand goes like healthcare for everyone. Then in this situation, our second demand is about creating in Vancouver this policy of a sanctuary city as well. And we are moving gradually towards this one. It's very important right now what is happening that we speed up this process. In the next few weeks, we will be asking to meet with city councilors and explain to them about this policy in Toronto. But it's not just about Vancouver, probably it's for the whole Lower Mainland, because the migrants are everywhere in the Lower Mainland. Then we had to negotiate with all the cities, and I was hearing that there's some people interested in meeting with us.
How would they get in contact with you?
Right now we have a blog, and then they can contact us through our blog. It's called Sanctuary Health. Then they can contact us through the blog. But also contact me, 604-315-7725. I will be happy to share with you what we are doing.
Good. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning, Byron.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Byron Cruz. He is with Sanctuary Health, an organization that was created after Canada's new immigration laws came into effect last year.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.org.